In your Bibles, to Revelation chapter 2, verses 18 and 19. Maybe we'll do "Come Unto Me" for close. That would be good. That next song you had. Okay. Taking this long look at Revelation 2 and 3, opening up our hearts as a church and as individuals and asking God to examine us. You know, sometimes doing things like that is uncomfortable, if not painful, but in the long term, blessed. Amen? And I'm looking to be challenged, and have been, and I hope you have been too. But reading Revelation 2, verses 18 and 19, and the thought I'd like to speak on this morning is ever-increasing works. Ever-increasing works. Verse 18, "To the angel in the church of Thyatira write, these are the words of the Son of God, whose eyes are like blazing fire, and whose feet are like burnished bronze. I know your deeds, your love and faith, your service and perseverance, and that you are now doing more than you did at first." Let's bow our hearts and let's ask God's blessing to be with us this morning as we look to God's Word. Father, we just thank you and praise you so much that you're here today. We thank you for your powerful presence, O God, and we thank you for your Word that speaks to our soul. We ask now in the name of Jesus that your Holy Spirit would speak to us now through your Word. Pray you give words to the speaker. May you give us all ears to hear what your Holy Spirit is saying today. And help us to become the church and the people that you've called us to be. And we ask this in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Why are we taking time to talk about these things and to examine our lives in the light of these scriptures? Because as I've mentioned several times, we're not just studying these to study them and to have knowledge about what these churches were going through. We're looking at these and allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to us. It's because God wants us to be strong. Our theme text for these series of messages is actually from Matthew's Gospel, 16:18. "I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." God wants us to be strong, and God wants us to stay strong so that we can continue to glorify His name and be His light and His witness. And the purpose of the Lord Jesus Christ for this church is for us to do good works. You might be saying, "Well, Pastor Randy, isn't the purpose of this church to glorify God?" And the answer is, yes, it is. And one way that we do glorify God, in fact, we can't glorify God unless we're doing this, is by being a church and individual, and by being individuals who do good works. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10 bears this out. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do what? To do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. Yes, we do bring glory by singing praises unto God, in giving Him thanks. but we also bring Him glory. Just for His own pleasure's sake, when we live before Him, when we fulfill this call to do good works, when we live righteously, when we love others, whether they are in the household of faith or they're not, whether they're just our neighbor whom we bump into. These things bring honor and glory and praise to Jesus Christ. It's what we've been created to do. And this has been an overriding theme or a big theme in these seven messages that we've been looking at to these seven different churches. The importance of works. We read back in the Ephesian church how they were commended because they were a church that was a church who worked hard. They were a church that did things for the kingdom of God. And then last week we took time to talk about how when we see Jesus face to face, and we will see Him, and it will be a blessed day, but one of the things that He is going to do is judge our works to see whether they've been good or bad. We also took time last week to talk about how God is examining and purifying our works today and making our works better. But what we're going to do this morning, and what the scripture, specifically verse 19, teaches us, is it gives us the definition of what a good work actually is. You know, we could go around to everyone this morning and ask each other, what does good actually mean? And we'd all can have our various opinions on what good actually is, but this verse actually gives us the definition of what a good work is and our expectation regarding these good works. But first, just very briefly, I'd like us to remind ourselves this morning that works are very important to God, even though we are people of faith. Sometimes because we are people who believe on Jesus and stress that we have the knowledge that our works of righteousness mean nothing in the eyes of God. We can't earn our salvation. We only come to Christ through by grace through faith. It's only by believing on Jesus, specifically what He did on Calvary, that when He died for our sins. And when He rose victoriously, not only for Himself, but to make a way for us. It's only by putting trust in what He did alone that we are given the gift of eternal life. But that doesn't mean that works have no role in our lives as we live for Jesus. Works are very, very important to God. As I mentioned earlier from Ephesians chapter 2, we were created. We were born again to do what? To do good works. In this short life that we have, and this life is short. I know some of you are younger and you think you've got a lot of time left. I used to think that way. And I still think I got some time left, but I don't think I got that much time left. You know what I'm saying? Not only were we created to do work, to do good works, but the purpose of the church is to prepare ourselves. We're not only coming here today, although that is a very important reason to come together to worship God corporately. And not only are we to come together because God moves in a very special way when brothers and sisters in Christ with one heart worship God together. The reason that God has called, a very important reason that God has called us together is so that we can be trained to do the works that God has called us to do as a church. Ephesians 4, 11 and 12 bear this out. It was He who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. This is not only a concert hall where we're singing unto the Lord. We're not, you're not the audience, God is, when we come together and worship. You're on the stage, so to speak, and although God's on a bigger stage. And we're singing unto the Lord when we come together. But we should also have the mindset that when we come to church, we're going to be trained how to live for Jesus and how to do good works for His glory. That should be our mindset, not to be tickled. Because the Bible teaches us that our faith is proved through our good works. James 2:17. Same, but in the same way, faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. And as we've mentioned, last week, and as we've seen in prior messages as we've looked through this, Jesus is now, it's not just something that's going to happen in the future, is now searching for and examining the works of the believer. It's not just a single theme in the letter to the church at Thyatira. To the church at Ephesus, Jesus says, I know your deeds, your hard work and your perseverance. He was looking at what they were doing. He wasn't just looking to see whether or not they believed in Jesus. He wanted to know, what are you doing, church at Ephesus? The church at Sardis, He says, I know your deeds. I'm watching you. I'm watching what you do. In fact, what we do is actually a reflection of our heart, is it not? Church at Philadelphia, I know your deeds. The church at Laodicea, I know your deeds. I'm watching you. I'm watching what you are doing. And what the Spirit of God is saying to the church at Norwich today, Norwich Assembly, I know your deeds. I'm watching what you're doing because what you are doing is very, very important to me. And the message to the church at Thyatira gives us insight as far as what God is looking for in our works. We've already talked about in Ephesus how God is looking for a church that is doing something for His kingdom. Now we're looking at and receiving insight as far as the characteristics of the works that God is looking for. Once again, verse 19, I know your deeds, your love and faith, your service and perseverance, and that you are now doing more than you did at first. One of the things that God, as I mentioned earlier, that God commended the church at Ephesus for was that they worked very, very hard. They were tireless. And if you remember way back in, I think it was January, and we talked about it, the reason they were a tireless church is because they were a church who worked in the strength of the Holy Spirit and not their own strength. But to Thyatira, there was also a commendation or an encouragement to continue. They were receiving praise from God for their works, and the reason that they were receiving praise is in that last part of that verse. They were now doing more than they did at the first. Their works were increasing. That phrase, doing more, could be also translated, their works were greater, their works were larger, their works were elder, were stronger. And I think when you first read that, the initial thing that comes to our mind is, as we're serving Jesus, we need to be doing more for Jesus. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't look to do everything that we possibly can for the Lord Jesus Christ. We should. But I'm not convinced that's actually what this is saying here, or what the thought that Jesus Christ is trying to get across to us. Because I have found, of course, in pastoring, there's always two kinds of people, you know. I have found in churches, there's kind of two kinds of people. Number one, the kind of people that, as far as service, aren't really committed to service. They view church work more like a hobby or a pastime. And then on the other hand, well, you got the people in the middle who are balanced, I guess. So there's three kinds of people there. And then, but on the other hand, you've got people who are workaholics for Jesus. You know, every time, I guess sign-up sheets are already gone through, but every time there's a sign-up sheet, their name, you know, it's like the John Hancock on Constitution, their name's in big, bold letters at the top with exclamation points, because they're going to sign up for everything. And they're going to end up, you know, and I think that's great, but sometimes as pastors we've got to watch out that we don't take advantage of those people, because you can burn yourself out trying to do everything. But having said that, God was commending Thyatira because their works were increasing. And it wasn't so much, I think they were doing more stuff. And every night of the week they were doing something. I mean, if God wanted them to do that, that's fine. But rather the quality of what they were doing was better. Because that's also indicated in that Greek word, doing more. In fact, you can do a lot of things and it really not mean a whole lot to the Lord Jesus Christ. I think of first, the words of the Apostle Paul to the Corinthian church, which was not just a church that did a lot. It was a spirit-filled church with a lot of the gifts going on in their worship. If I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames but have not love, I gain nothing. Am I saying here that we shouldn't be working hard? No, I'm not saying that at all. In fact, I think working for Jesus needs to be a sacrifice, because He sacrificed for us. But what I am saying is how God wants us to increase as far as our labors for God isn't necessarily doing more, because you can be doing a lot of things and it mean really nothing to God. The quality of what you're doing and what I'm doing needs to increase. What we do for the kingdom needs to get better. Not so much more. You only have so many hours of the day. But it does need to increase. I think a scripture that kind of gives us insight into that is also from the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is no new theme. This is from the very old. It was given from the Lord Jesus Christ to those who are following Him, not just His disciples, but anyone who wanted to follow Him. We read about it in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, verse 20. And He says this regarding doing different deeds. And it's the same word as far as doing more from Revelation 2:19 that's used in Matthew 5:20. I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses, or does more, same word there, that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. Basically, Jesus was talking to the masses, or telling them the exact same thing He was saying about the church at Thyatira. He says that if you want to be part of the kingdom, you need to do more than the scribes and the Pharisees. Now, the scribes and the Pharisees, their whole lives were about doing good things. That's all they did. Everything they did was had something to do with fulfilling the law. And so it would be next to impossible, if not impossible, to do more than what they did. But what is Jesus asking his followers to do as far as works of service or deeds of righteousness? To do a lot or to do them well? So the indication here that the church at Thyatira wasn't just doing good works and wasn't just working really hard. The quality of what they were doing was getting better and better and better. And we need to understand that, because you and I, in serving Jesus, we are all works in progress. We're all, you know, when we come to Jesus, we're born again, which means we're young, we're innocent, and we have a lot to learn. And the process of growing in God and the process of doing things should undergo and does undergo our entire lives a maturing process. But whether or not that process becomes a reality in our lives, whether or not we become better at what we're doing for the kingdom of God, depends upon us. On whether or not we're going to mature in Jesus in what we're doing. But this scripture from Revelation chapter 2 verse 19 not just tells us that our works need to get better, it tells us how our works need to get better. Once again, verse 19, I know your deeds, your love and faith, your service and perseverance, and that you're doing more than you did at first. There were certain qualities that were associated to what the Thyatirans did. They didn't just show up. They didn't just mail it in. You know, and I know I'm not a perfect preacher. But let me tell you what would be very easy for me to do every Sunday morning. Actually, before Sunday morning. Would be to go online and find some sermon with all the words all printed out. And there are tons of them now. I mean, it's easier now to find sermon material than it's ever been in the history of the world. Because everything's just a... Instead of having big libraries, all you need is a laptop. And then I could read Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, the sermon that was a focal point of the Great Awakening in New England. You know, the one you heard the stories, people holding on to the pillars because they thought they would be swallowed up in the hell. Could do all that, but if my heart's not in it, if my spirit's not in it, if I'm just doing it to do it, my job, it's worth nothing in the eyes of God, and I don't think really it would do you folks very much good as well. What are the what does God expect us both to possess? Because all these things are things we grow in, and also grow in as we serve Jesus, as we fulfill His calling upon our lives. Well, one thing we already talked about, and that's patience or perseverance. One of the qualities of a good, what Jesus is looking for and what we're doing is being patient. And we need to be patient with one another. Teachers, you need to be patient with those that you are teaching. Be patient with those little ones. Those of you who are discipling, and I hope that's many, if not all of you. You know, and I don't mean to be a broken record, but it's important that we have two relationships. Number one, we have a relationship with someone who is encouraging us to grow in Jesus. And number two, we have a relationship where we're encouraging someone to grow in Christ. But let me tell you, that can be very, very frustrating when you don't see a person grow in Jesus. Yeah, you know, why bother? Sometimes our patience is like our patience when we're at the stop sign and there's traffic coming, you know, we're waiting to take a left turn and there's traffic. You know, 2 minutes isn't very long, especially in one of my messages. I'm sorry, I couldn't help that. But when you're at a stop sign, it lasts forever. And don't we have the impression, especially as Pentecostal believers, that, oh, we preach the word and the Holy Spirit's going to come down and do something, and a person immediately is going to be a changed person. It doesn't happen that way all the time. It can, and sometimes it does, or at least in certain areas in people's lives. But we're all lifetime works in progress. And so if you and I are to fulfill the calling of being people who minister to other people, we have to be patient. So you having a time of praying and crying or teaching with someone, but then giving up after a few weeks is void of that essential quality that God is looking for, and that's patience. But we need, in developing patience, not only to be patient with God, with people, we also need to be patient with God. Came across this week, as far as patience with God. We've got to be patient with what God is doing in us. You know, sometimes I want the change in my life to be a little more rapid than what's happening. And it's, you know, and sometimes it is my fault. Sometimes it's just God's timing. I need to be patient in what God is doing through me. You know, as a pastor, I would like to see, you know, different things happen, but I've got to be patient in God's timing, what God does in our church and our community and our, my family and so on and so forth. We need to be patient in what God is doing around us. Patience, so important. Secondly, another quality that God is looking for as far as its existence and growth. Remember, it's not just a matter of you know, patience is something, you know, we talk about, patience isn't something that, like this Bible that we get, once we get it, we've got it. No, it's a seed that once we receive it, it begins to grow. And such it is with all these things. So please keep that in mind as we discuss them this morning. But secondly, with patience is also the importance of a sense of service or duty. We need to be duty bound. We need to understand that what Jesus has called us to do, both generally in the scriptures, as far as living for God, there's something that we're all called to do, but then the unique callings that are upon our lives, that we're duty bound to them. That those are mandates. That idea of service is two ideas come to mind. One is a servant, someone who is owned by his master or her master. And so you don't have a choice whether you want to do it or not. You do it. Of course, and I think more familiar with this area because of our proximity to the sub base, there's the military aspect where if you rank under someone and your superior officer orders you to do something, you don't complain. You don't say, I think about it. You do it. Whether you're on duty, I imagine whether you're on duty or not, you do it. In fact, those of you who have been in military, if a commanding officer, if you bumped into them somewhere out in town and they told you to do something, would you say, well, no, I'm on liberty now. I can do whatever I want. Or did you do it? Maybe I'm speaking wrong there. Matt, you're our... I can't see you, so... What's that? That's right. Okay, very good. I didn't check with him beforehand, so I was a little nervous on that one. Exactly. 24 hours, and such it is with Jesus. Thank Jesus, again, nothing new. You know, Jesus isn't just introducing something new to these churches. These are things that he taught that they already had to learn and read and study and apply to their lives. And he puts it this way in Luke's Gospel 9:62. No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. Now let me tell you something, and this is something that's very, very important that you understand, because on the other side of this, some people think because there are times that you do something, some act of service, helping someone, sharing Christ with doing some act of service when you really don't want to. You don't have that love in your heart that you want to. And the only reason you're doing it because you know that you should, that it means nothing in the eyes of God. And I would say, yes, God wants us to love Him and to love others. But when we deny ourselves, we crucify the flesh and say, I just got a call from someone. They want me to help them, move up 3 flights of stairs. Don't you love to hear those those requests? And, oh, this was a Saturday that I was going to sleep in. This was the first one. And you deny your flesh. And maybe you're not happy and overjoyed in doing it, but you know that you should do it because they're a brother and sister in Christ, or maybe they're not, but you know that's what God wants you to do. And maybe you're not joyful, but you do it anyways. What are you doing? You're demonstrating a sense of duty that God honors. Nothing wrong with that. In fact, what God dishonors is when we have ulterior motives. We want to do things, but for the wrong reasons. But let me tell you, crucifying the flesh, when you crucify the flesh and you do something that you don't want to do, that honors God, because that's part of the Christian life. It's crucifying, it's denying oneself and following Jesus. Which leads into the next quality that God is looking for as far as its existence and growth in our life, and that is love. Ephesians 5:25 says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. And the love that God has called us to in what we're doing is the love that Jesus Christ demonstrated on Calvary. And if I could use one word to describe the love of Jesus and the love that we're to exhibit, and what we do for the kingdom of God, both love of God and love of others, is selflessness. Where what we do is not about us at all. I'm not given to get. I have no ulterior motives as far as what I'm doing. I'm not doing it so people will think highly of me. I'm doing it because I love God and I just want to bless God. I'm doing it because I love people and I want people to see Jesus in me. I'm not doing it so people will think I'm a good person or I can get a favor from someone later. I don't even want your favor. No, I do want. No, I'm just kidding. But, favors are the last thing from my mind. I love you and I want you to experience the love of God because it's just overwhelming. Let me, next one. And the last quality in this scripture, at least, that God is looking for. And that is faith. I know your deeds, your love, and faith. It's very important that what we do proceeds out of faith. In fact, Romans 14, verse 23 tells us that everything that does not come from faith is sin. And I know, and I mentioned this earlier, we're not saved by what we do, not at all. We're saved by grace through faith, but that doesn't mean that. So, it's important that we realize this, because sometimes we fall into the trap of trying to justify ourselves and justify our relationship with Jesus Christ by what we do. You know, God, I'm worth something to you because I went to church today. Or this week I read my Bible every day. Or I pray, you know, I pray, not only did I prayed and I fasted. And I shared Jesus with someone. You know, on and on the list goes. We expect that we're justified before God because of what we have done. Yes, works do proceed from faith, but let me tell you what the opposite never happens. Faith and the blessings that come from faith, without faith it's impossible, please God. The blessings that come from faith do not come out of works. We don't earn anything with Jesus, nor with others. And so it's very, very important that we understand that in our relationship with God, that we're not, as far as serving God, we're not doing it in order to gain favor with Him, because we've already had it, even when we're deep in the darkness and the depths of sin. Works proceed from faith, but faith never proceeds from works. And let me tell you, there's a very simple way to determine whether or not you've fallen into that trap of being a born-again believer who's trying to justify him or herself by what you do. And it comes out through your prayer life. In so much that you either, when you pray to God, believe that God is going to hear your prayers because you've been a good Christian this past week. Or on the other hand, when you're going through a situation, you know you need to come to God, you don't expect anything from God because you've been a bad Christian. Both those scenarios, equally bad, and the reason that they are is because they're absent or void of the essential thing that allows us to have a relationship with Jesus, and that's grace, His unmerited favor, where He loves you no matter what. He'll receive you no matter what. He will hear you no matter what if the blood of Jesus Christ has been applied to your life through faith. Through faith. And to fall into the trap of, you know, I'm justified because of what I do, doesn't bring honor or glory to God. I'd like to ask our musicians to come this morning. And as I mentioned through the course of the message, two things. Number one, these things need to be in existence. These are the good things that God is looking for in our lives. Number two, they need to grow or increase. Because we are all works in progress, and as such, when we begin, we may not have any or all of these things evident in our lives and in our works and what we do for God's kingdom. A seed, when it's planted, has no fruit at all. You know, a seedling comes up, and as soon as you get the sprout, there's still no fruit. It takes a while, and I'm, you know, I dare say, in all of our lives, there's probably all of us here probably have some fruit that's not even evident yet. And the rest of us, if we, you know, if perchance we have all four fruits, some of them might not be growing maybe as they should. It's easy to detect whether or not the works that we have are good or not, or even evident. But if they're not, if number one, it's not there, we look in our hearts and there is no love. We don't have patience. We're very, very short. But if they are there, but they really haven't been growing, I don't find myself more loving. In fact, I seem to have stagnated or going backwards, and that can happen too. Well, the solution is not to look in ourselves. Well, I just need to look deeper in myself, and because I know it's in there someplace. That's not the way to create these wonderful things in our lives, and it's certainly not the way to increase. And I guess a way to have good works and those works increasing, maturing before God is to look to others in a small way. You know, Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. But above all, it's by looking up to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Why do you love God? Why does any of us here love God today? Because we're good people that we love God? No, the Bible says we love Him because He first loved us and gave Himself for us. Everything we need to have good works that are increasing day by day, moment by moment, is not down in here. It's up in here, up in head in the heavenlies, in the Spirit of the living God, which He has lavishly poured out upon us. We press in for more of Jesus. Ask God to pour more of His love and grace upon our hearts. And becoming more loving, more patient, more bound by duty, more sacrificial, more faithful, more trusting. It just happens naturally in Jesus' precious name. Very simply put, we're not growing in God when our works aren't maturing. It's just time to get in and have more Jesus. It's not complicated. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together and let's sing in closing this morning. Henry, if you lead us in a song of worship.